Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Just kind of want to chat with you a little bit this morning from the Scripture. And I want to read this to you. From the Scripture. I'll tell you where it's at in just a moment. I'm not going to have you turn there because it's not really the main text, but it says this: as you come to Him, meaning we come to God, come to Christ, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men. Now, when it says that, rejected by men or by the world, they live by the patterns we used to, right? And so if they don't have faith or believe, or if pride stops them, and they look at your life and its transformation, and that you belong to Christ, you've come to Him, they reject you. But, you know, some are glad to see the change, and they're hungry and thirsty for it. Right? Right? Because the Holy Spirit's already working on people before they, right? Before He, you know, we ever talk to Him or share the gospel with Him. God's good. Holy Spirit, God doesn't need us. He gives us the privilege of using us and, you know, gives us purpose. But He is not limited. He knows how to show up into humanity. He knows how to reveal Himself. And but the world may look and reject. Don't be surprised or shocked by that. There were people who listened to the Son of God speak on the hillside and in villages and in towns, and still He was rejected. Some received and some believed. So, you know, some may reject. Don't get all bent out of shape over it. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. I guess that's a priority, that we're supposed to be more concerned about what God thinks of us. Not that we don't care what people think, but we're looking to God for His approval. So as we come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Say, built up. That usually involves time, doesn't it? Being built up. There's an action that goes with it. There's a process that goes with it. Being built up as a spiritual house. To be a holy priesthood. Turn to the person next to you and say, did you know you're part of the priesthood? Come on, ask him. You're part of the priesthood. Don't let him look out the window. To ask him. Julie, ask you. Yep, you ask your husband there. I don't want him staring out that window. Being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know, it sounds like such a marvelous thing. And, you know, we can look at some other people in this room and say, you know, they are called to such a great thing. And yeah, you may know their history or their past or all those things, but you know, they're called to be a royal priesthood. They're living stones. In other words, the living church. That they are in Christ. When they come to Christ, they put faith in God. This is what you are called to be. This is what you are becoming. It's an interesting thing to be called it like it's done and still be called and being made in the process. being built up. God's faithful to finish the work he started. You may be here this morning and you said, you know, there was a time in my life where I felt really close to the Lord. And I had a living faith in him and things were good. And somewhere along the line, maybe the concerns of life choked out the faith, or you threw in the towel, or you got distracted and got off track and sin, you know, started taking over, or you felt like, you know, you put faith in God, but you just couldn't break some habits and you quit and they overrun your life. And it's been a season where, you know, you haven't been living according to the Lord. If that's you, I want you to listen to me. If you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to catch this. God is able to finish the work he started back in you whenever it was. If you will come to him, he will make you a living stone, a royal priesthood that's holy, and that your sacrifices and praises will be acceptable to him. He knows how to forgive. He knows how to transform. He knows how to take us from where we are at. So if you're here this morning and there was a time where you had close faith, but you're not living in it today, I don't want you to take the bait of condemnation. Certainly you've done things wrong. So have I. Even those of us who may feel like we're closer to him, we still got a long ways to go. He's not finished. We're in a process. And yet we're called a living stone and a royal priesthood. We want to live worthy of the calling, but we need his grace and mercy and blood to do that. We cannot do that on our own. I cannot be holy on my own. I cannot be holy on my own. So you take encouragement and courage this morning. If you choose, you can be a living stone again. He's not finished. And it's not about you giving God another chance. He is still giving you opportunity. And we can come to him. I read that to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, but I don't really want you to turn there. I want you to turn to the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi. Chapter 2. As you're turning there, you know, as we have been praying in recent days about God to have a visitation, a strong presence among us, opportunity to taste and see to a new level of how great he is, let him do what he wants to do. You know, one of the things that he does when his presence shows up is, yes, his loving kindness draws us to repentance. And so we repent and turn around and follow after him. But one of the things that he does for that to take place out of his loving kindness is we also see exposure of things in our life. And for the one who maybe is stepping into faith for the first time, they may not be overwhelmed by, what is exposed in their life. They are just overwhelmed by his great love. But those who've come into faith, sometimes we trip up a little bit when he begins to show conviction over things in our life. And we're praying for a strong presence of the Lord to be among us, to give us opportunity to get closer to him and to experience him, not just this God of some Christian moral, but to know God himself in our lives. And we sometimes trip over this a little bit, and we try to get holy on our own because we had a revelation of his grace and mercy, as if grace and mercy are done now because we're supposed to know better. I want you to know, even when we know better, we still need his grace and mercy. Still can't be holy on my own. I need him. I need his blood and I need his spirit at work in me to sanctify me or make me clean. And so as we pray for this visitation of God along the way, there's going to be convictions. There's going to be some changes that still need to take place in us. Some things that maybe were in our minds okay for a time in our Christian walk, and God begins to show up and says, now, that's no longer acceptable. We can trip and stumble and argue, or we can suffer under guilt and condemnation. And that becomes a trap to us, and it begins to rob us, and I don't want to see that happen for us. So I want to read to you from Malachi chapter 2 and then going into chapter 3. We'll start with verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, how have we wearied him? You've wearied him in this way, by saying, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. The Lord never delights in evil. Right? Never delights in evil. Never. He came to save us from evil, not just outward evil, but in here, evil. In here, sin nature, corruption. And he's saying, this is how you wearied me. You keep saying people are good and acceptable to me when they're not. You're saying that what their life represents and what they do is okay with me. In other words, there's sin that operates in some of God's people, and God's people are saying, you're good. God says, you know, you've wearied me with that standard. Because God is holy. He's always been holy. He is holy. Sin is what separates us from him. And so he has dealt with sin and what is evil so that you and I can be in right relationship with him. That's about us coming into God, coming into Christ through God's love, through his blood, through forgiveness, to make good on his grace, that we now, that we see our sin removed and forgiven, that we have to make good on that and live differently because of it. That we're born again, right? In other words, we're born of the Spirit. Because we were born into sin, our nature, our natural tendency is to be filthy, sinful, a criminal. When we come to God in responding to his initiation to love us and make a way for us to be made right, we're not supposed to live like that anymore. And we are then holy. And the interesting thing is that though we are holy, we are still being made holy. We are sanctified, and yet he is sanctifying us. It's just like when Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says, you know what? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Becoming new. It's this sanctifying work. It's this continual change, this continual realization, the continual transformation of us, that we would become holy like the one who is holy. That we are born again, and we're born again of the Spirit of God. That we are still identified on this earth because we look like the same person physically, and we still have probably the same name, but our inside and our attitude and our conduct and our behavior, it's all changing, becoming more like him. We're becoming this living stone, being built up. So Malachi writes this as a prophet, and he says, God says, this is how you word me. Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. That's what they're saying, which isn't true. Or by asking, where is the God of justice? It's an interesting thing for his people to be saying, this is good when it's not good, and God accepts you, and you're a good person. And the reality is that they have this approval they're giving to some people, And the thing is, they are not good. And yet on the same hand, they're saying, God, why aren't you just? When their own just judgment and own justice is corrupt and out of line. And so he says, you know, you wearied me with this. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Now, when we're looking at the Old Testament, who is the messenger that's going to be the forerunner before Jesus comes? John the Baptist. Comes in the spirit of? You know, we look at the end times in the book of Revelation, it talks about, you know, him sending in a forerunner in the spirit of, you know. And so it's like God is sending a messenger to the people, and John the Baptist that we know later, because we can look back into the New Testament when Malachi wrote, they didn't know this. This is all prophetic, a message from God to the heart of Malachi for the people. Another message from the prophet saying there's a Messiah coming, but there's going to be a forerunner, one who warns you. It says, behold, I send a messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi. Now, that's the priesthood, right? The Levites were the priesthood. Now, we said earlier from the scripture that we are now in the New Testament through Christ, because he's our great high priest, and those who put faith in him, we are all a priesthood, right? So if we take this principle of God, it now it's not just, oh, you know, the Levites and the priests and those you label as pastors, but all of us through faith in Christ. He is coming and sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the church, because we are the priesthood, and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner or the one on its journey, a foreigner, an alien, one who's just wandering and needs help, and also against those who do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. The interesting thing when the Bible talks about, you know, John coming as a forerunner before Jesus, and then before, you know, the Lord's return, there will be this, you know, this forerunner and this one who comes in the spirit sent by the Lord, you know, like John came. But in between there, the interesting thing is, you know, when Jesus came, he said, I have to go so I can send the Holy Spirit, right? And we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who is at work in us. The blood of Jesus Christ forgives us of sin. Doesn't change. It's the only way we get forgiveness. But the Holy Spirit was sent and outpoured. Yes, for a variety of reasons. And one was for power in ministry. We understand that. But the Holy Spirit was also sent to do a sanctifying or cleaning work in the life of the church or the believers. It's interesting that Jesus was kind of the forerunner to the outpouring of the Spirit, because Jesus said, I have to ascend so the Holy Spirit can come. Now, before Jesus returns, it's like the Holy Spirit is now a forerunner before the return of Christ, because the Holy Spirit is continuing to convict, continuing to give us the message, continuing to give us revelation through the scripture, through messengers that God raises up to speak his word on his behalf to people, and the Holy Spirit working in our life, continuing to convict us and arrest us and encourage us and build us up into these living stones so that when Christ returns, we're ready. It's almost like this Holy Spirit of God is now this messenger and this forerunner to the return of Christ. We know that the Holy Spirit, one of his responsibilities, if we were to look in, you know, Romans chapter 15, I believe it's verse 16, it says that we are sanctified. Paul writes, we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Spirit came to convict the world of sin and righteousness. The Spirit of God, I want you to know that you don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the same Spirit that inspired people to write the scriptures in which we read today to instruct us, encourage us, reprove us. It's Holy Spirit's ministry in sanctifying us. It says that in Malachi that the Lord will come suddenly to his temple. Jesus gives parables about, you know, the wedding party and those who ran out of oil and said, share your oil with us because we don't want to miss the coming of the bridegroom. Remember that story? Because they didn't know when he was going to come. And then when he comes, it's sudden. They know he's coming, but they don't know when. And then there's that moment of realization. And we call it suddenly. I want you to know the Lord's return will be suddenly. You will not be told, hey, I'm going to be there in 1 hour. Suddenly implies this, that when something happens suddenly, we were usually busy doing something else. It means we were caught in the act. Now, will we be caught in the act or life of unholiness, or will we be caught holy, acceptable, making good on God's grace and his Jesus' blood for us. This constant living, this constant walking forward with the Lord. There's a misunderstanding that I think we have sometimes. And I feel badly for us in this sense with compassion. And I've had these conversations with people over the years. They are in Christ. They have this faith in Christ. They're still being sanctified, just like I'm still being worked on, all of us. And they say, you know, I want the Lord to come back. There's still some things I want to do in life. I hope that's not selfish. But, you know, when the Lord comes back and he comes suddenly and we don't know the day or the hour, he comes like a thief in the night. What if at the moment he returns, I didn't tell the whole truth to somebody? Does that mean if he comes back and I'm caught in this sin? And I'm not going to heaven. And here I believed in him, I had faith in him, but I'm, you know, he's still sanctifying me. And of course, we're imagining ourselves. It's a real question that we can entertain, but it's hypothetical in this. When Jesus comes back, what if I am in the middle of not giving the whole truth to someone? It's hypothetical. Holy Spirit's still working on you, that maybe you're going to be at the place where you're no longer telling partial truths when he returns. How about that? How about a plan that we get holy rather than a plan I'm going to fail? And it's a legitimate question. We've all asked it. we know that God does not approve of evil. But you know, even the apostles, the foundation and leader, not the foundation of the church, but leaders of the church, Christ is the foundation. It's founded on him. You know, they said, hey, when you sin, repent. They weren't talking to people outside the church. They were talking to believers. When you sin, repent. Turn around, get it right. And if we continue to live with that kind of faith that moves us to repentance, continues to, you know, move us along, that our heart and our mind is really for God, but we're still in this process. I'm not talking about living a sloppy life. We're not talking about, hey, yeah, you know, I believe in God, but I, you know, keep going out and sleeping with women. And that's okay with God. You can think you're okay and God understands, but I'm going to tell you something. His word's clear on this. That person will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't care how much money they gave to the church. I don't care how they worship and cry. It doesn't matter. But let me tell you this. For the people in this room who've committed adultery, and you are following Christ, and you are not living like that anymore, you'll inherit the kingdom of heaven. Because that's who God is. That's who God is. Understand that we are in a process. You and I are being built. We are becoming something different. He is transforming us. We are born again of the Spirit. We are to die to ourselves, and our sinful nature is to be crucified so that we can live unto God. Principles all about this throughout the Scripture. Talks about him coming suddenly. May the grace and the mercy and the blood of Christ continue to atone for us on the day of his coming. But until that day, may we occupy and be full of hope and purpose, and allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to convict us and finish his work in us, building us up. Don't, if I could say this, live with the readiness, but don't be worried about the moment he comes. Don't be worried about the moment he comes. That's his business when he comes. We're just supposed to live ready and become more ready each day. Don't be filled with anxiety. What if he comes right in the moment where I'm not telling the full truth? That's where we leave things in the hands of God. And at that point, you know what? His grace and his mercy and you wanting to obey him and you continuing to repent and live a repentant life. Listen. I believe he's going to see you home. We need to live a submitted life, an obedient life. We need to be cleansed of sin and live without it. And when we do, as the apostles wrote, repent, turn, continuing being built as a living stone, a priesthood that's holy. We are a priesthood that's holy. Listen, you are a priesthood that's holy. Now let me ask this question. You are a priesthood that's holy. How many of you sinned yesterday? Put your hands up high. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you sinned just now because you didn't tell the truth? Now you are a royal priesthood, and yet you raised your hands that you sinned yesterday. How does that make sense? You are a royal priesthood. Because of your faith in Christ and his blood, you are cleansed from sin and iniquity. And behold, old things are passed away, things are becoming new, and you are continuing to be perfected from yesterday to today. We're not supposed to be the same as yesterday. We're going to continue to be built. And there's a process. And the Holy Spirit is sanctifying us and making us ready. Hey, listen. Jesus told the parable about a man who didn't have enough workers to go in his field, so he went into town and hired people, right? Brought them out. They agreed on a payment for working the whole day. He still didn't have enough workers, so he went out and worked his way all the way till like the last hour, the last part of the day, the last part of the workday. He still went into town, didn't have enough laborers, and hired them to come out and work for the same benefit as those who started earlier in the day. Right? Doesn't seem fair. It was the master's money. And the point is this. Some will have been saved early and working in God's kingdom longer. But they will be saved not based upon their work, but based upon their faith agreement with God. And some may be saved right before their last breath on this earth. But they put faith in him and they will receive the same salvation. And those who have been saved longer are not to be upset with God over giving them salvation. They live like the devil all the days of their life until just before their final breath they converted. And the church, the living church, the priesthood is upset about it. How can they be when the angels in heaven are rejoicing? Scripture says. Listen, salvation is given. Now, the works and the time that you've served Christ, your works will be rewarded. But salvation is for all who believe. So as God visits us and continues to come close to us, and his Holy Spirit is present, and he convicts us of sin, and you may grow frustrated. Listen, I have been frustrated at times in my life with me, with my performance. In here I have sentiment, and I know that I love God, and yet I go back to the scriptures as those who love me obey me. Oh, ouch. I have to rely on his Spirit to produce obedience in me. I have to cooperate. I have to die to myself. Absolutely. But he is building you. It talks about a refiner's fire. Because you and I were born into sin, our tendency is to sin. Now we are born again into Christ and born of the Spirit of the Lord. Saved, continuing to follow him in this progression. Though we are sanctified, we are still being sanctified. We're cleansed and we are being cleansed. I mean, we're called to holiness. 1 Peter, it says, be holy as I am holy. That's not optional. Be holy as I am holy, God says. We are called to holiness. I don't know what your image or picture of holiness is. But if you would look at Jesus, the person, and follow him through the Gospels, you will see what holiness is. Holiness is not what the person next to you thinks it is. It is who God is. For there is only one holy, there is only one righteous, right? That should be our picture of righteousness. That should be our picture of holiness. If a church's constitution and bylaws say what holiness and righteousness is, and it doesn't match the scripture and the nature of God, then you know what? That is not really the standard of holiness. He is. We all fall short of the glory of God. Right? And we know that our wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He is building us up. He's making you better. So when we look at this phrase of a refiner's fire, listen, the refiner's fire, catch this, the refiner's fire is not an incinerator. His fire of refining is not to incinerate you. It is to refine you. And if we know that we are still being sanctified, then you and I have to come to a place in our heart and our mind with the understanding that He is still going to expose things in our life that are not appropriate or holy. It's a bummer when that happens. I don't like to see yuck in me. I don't like to see it. I don't enjoy it. There's moments, if I were to be honest, I would rather ignore it. But because He's working on me, in me, and He's refining me, these things are going to be exposed. I am going to see it. I am going to come to an understanding. I am going to realize it. So what am I supposed to do? Just say, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm no good. Yeah, I'm no good. There's no hope for me. I'm terrible. I should know better. This ain't working. Oh, I might as well just forget it. I'll never make heaven. I'm crummy. Who in the world would want to be my friend? I don't blame my family if they leave me. I'm just no good. Is that why God shows you this stuff? Is this why He refines us and brings this out of us? He brings it out because He wants it solved. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. He doesn't want you bringing the baggage of sin with you, because where you're going and His plan for you and where you're going, it can't get in. It's not welcome there. He doesn't convict you and refine you so that you go into a spiritual depression. It's so that we can have a recognition of it and then say, oh, wow, Your grace and mercy is still in my life. Yes, and I still need to be transformed, because frankly, I think I've been pretty good. Better than most of the people. Whoa, man, you know, we get on all kinds of thoughts. And we may not think it like that. It's just that we get caught, or by Him, looking down our nose at some other people. That's not holiness. That is not holiness. Listen, as God convicts and He shows things to you, don't throw in the towel. This is the point this morning. He is building you. You are to be a royal priesthood, holy and acceptable to God. Continue to let Him expose things in you. Yes, it can be embarrassing. Yes, it's things we don't like. Yes, our flesh will try to fight against it and try to justify it. You may say, oh, I've been dealing with this all my life. Well, I guess this is just my thorn. Listen. Sin is not your thorn. Don't exalt that as if it's more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. A refiner's fire, a refining of silver. I want you to take encouragement this morning when God loves you enough and the Holy Spirit is in you enough that He exposes things about you, so that you and I are not to ignore it. We're not to make an excuse for it. We're not to make room for it. That over this thing we can be militant in our own life. not to the point where spiritual depression comes in and, you know, we're thinking we're no good and we walk under condemnation and it's at the point where the devil doesn't even have to condemn us. We're just so busy doing it ourselves. That is not God's plan for you. You have taken something that is spiritual in the kindness and the holiness of God, and now you have taken it and said, I'll take it from here. And you put something on it and on yourself that is not from him. Oh, you need to take sin serious. I'm not telling you to be sloppy. No, no. But you don't add condemnation to it. Thanks for showing me. I need this solved. I don't want to go through this again over this. Keep refining me. Make me ready for that day. I want to be a living stone. I want to be part of the royal priesthood. I want to be holy. I want to give you the sacrifice of my life and my lips and all who I am, that it would be acceptable to you when I offer it. I don't want to continue to think I'm offering you acceptable sacrifice and praise, and in reality, you're not accepting it. We must make our praise, our offering, our life, our song, every expression of worship, we must make it acceptable to him. And I want you to know that it's possible, even though you feel sentiment in your heart and you may raise your hands and you know the words to the chorus and you go to church every Sunday, that you can be offering up that kind of praise and it doesn't mean that God's accepting it. We're supposed to leave our gift to God at the altar and go make things right in our life, in our relationships, etc. Then we can come back, take the offering, and give it to God so that it's accepted. But if we don't make things right and we don't respond to the Holy Spirit, we can come in and sing all the songs we want and jump around and all of that. Doesn't mean that our praise is acceptable to him. That's a stark reality. Refiner's fire. I want to close with this. Because I want you to know that God still needs to expose things in us. In the beginning, a lot of the obvious stuff comes out. Ooh, yeah, skim it off the top. Let's deal with that and get rid of it. But as time goes on, it's amazing the other little things, we may call them, not so obvious things. Things that operate in other people that affect our culture and our standard, and we say, oh, well, I guess it's acceptable. No, we do not say it's acceptable or good. That wearies the Lord. That's what he wrote. The refiner's fire. I don't know much about refining. I've never refined really anything. I remember putting something in a little crucible and burning it in, I don't know, junior high or something, and something was in there. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't a frog. It was some material. But I read something on this recently about a person who went and kind of researched this and found somebody who refined silver, kind of like the scripture says. And they watched the process, and they talk about the process, and I'm not going to talk all about that. I'm just going to share this one thing. They asked this question of the refiner. They said, how do you know when the silver is done, when it's refined? And the refiner said this. Oh, that's easy. That when I look at it, I see my reflection.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.